We did miss you, but, you know, I have to admit to you that over the last week being with the kids, I'm spoiled rotten, okay? And Cindy and I, and man, the kids are here with us, the grandkids, and we're leaving this afternoon, going to go to Williamsburg, and we're going to get even more spoiled. So by next week, y'all won't be able to stand it. All right? But I really do appreciate Brian filling in for me last week, and but we did miss being with our family here, but we certainly have enjoyed the time spending with them and look forward to the next few days with that. It's great that I understand Bob was gone last week. Wesley came back, snuck in on me. So it's great to have him feeling well enough to be back with us. And then I noticed that you waited until after Brian had preached before you put the blinds up so the people out there can't see who's preaching. But aren't they great looking? They really are. I think they're really going to help tremendously. Now they shortchanged us about 10 of those slacks on there, so if you wonder why we left that space there, they're on order, and when they get them, they'll come and put them in, so that's not going to be there permanent. But I think it's really really looks nice and going to help out with the screen and being able to see that. Y'all back here in the back can see it better, can't you? All right. Well, it is, it's great to see you. We're talking about close encounters of the third kind. Most of us are probably familiar with that film. Even if you're a young person, you've probably seen it, you know, on the on demand or whatever the case may be. So probably everybody in here is familiar with these two folks. Okay, E.T. does what? He calls home. That phrase has become famous and is used even today, still very often. E.T. phone home. As we study this morning, we're going to be talking about not Close Encounters of the Third Kind by Steven Spielberg, but I want you to be thinking of a different kind of close encounter. We're going to be talking about Close Encounters of the Spiritual Kind. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, we are a people as human beings who seem to be overly obsessed with the idea of aliens in the universe. Our government, I don't know if you realize this or not, our government spends millions and millions of dollars just trying to communicate with possible aliens out there somewhere. Okay? Not to mention all of the other stuff we do in the space program and so forth, just trying to, you know, reach out and so forth. We just have this obsession with a possible alien world out there. And so the issue then comes up that says we are not alone in the universe. Okay? And there are a lot of, you know, folks who really focus a great deal of their time and energy on the whole issue of aliens in the universe. But what about the question of alien life on this planet, on Earth? Okay? That's another whole issue, another whole topic that a lot of people focus a lot of attention on. Are there aliens among us in the universe? Well, we need to make sure we understand when we're talking about aliens, what are we talking about? Well, here's a couple of definitions. The first one, belonging to a foreign country. Now, you know, in the political world today, the whole issue of illegal immigration and all of that's come up, and you know, it's not politically correct to say illegal aliens anymore. Okay? But, you know, if you go by the definition, okay, they belong to a foreign country, all right? They are here illegally. That means they're illegal aliens, doesn't it? Okay, so you know, but that's one side of it. But what about the other definition? A being from another world. Well, that's where we get, you know, all of these different people, you know, figures and ideas like E.T. and so forth. What do they look like and so forth? The fact is that there are aliens here in this world, and we are them. That's us. We are the aliens. I want to call your attention to the text that was read for us. We're going to be looking in 1 Peter 2. And in 2 Peter, we're going to be looking to see what does Peter tell us about this idea of being aliens. The fact that we really are the aliens. You don't have to go out looking at other planets and so forth to find aliens. And you don't have to be, you know, the men in black trying to figure out who's an alien, who's not, you know, as the movies portray. We're aliens. We are it. But what's that mean? In terms of how we are to be living our lives each day, what does it mean for us to be aliens? So that's what we're going to focus on this morning. In 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, here's what Peter writes. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers. Okay, that's what we are. Keep in mind, he's writing to Christians of his day, and he's writing to Christians of our day. This applies to you and I today just as well as it did back then. And he says, I'm urging you as aliens and strangers. In other words, people from a different world. You say, well, wait a minute, Russ, we're from this world, aren't we? Didn't we were born here? Yeah, physically. But spiritually, we're not from this world. We are aliens and strangers. But I want you to notice something really important about this that can be easily overlooked. Notice that he says that we are where? In the world. We are aliens and strangers in the world. And that is our situation and our service. So it's not the matter of the extraterrestrials. In a sense, we're the extraterrestrials, so to speak. We don't belong here. Okay? Because we are aliens and strangers in this world that we live in. All right? Exodus chapter 23, verse 9, we need to recognize that's not something new for Christians. It's something for God's people and always has been. In Exodus 23, where God is giving his instructions to the Israelite people concerning the law and how they were to behave themselves toward one another, he talks about the aliens among them. Now keep in mind, he's talking about in that context those who are foreigners or people from a foreign country. In other words, they are not Israelites. And look at what he says about them and how they are to treat them. He says, do not oppress an alien. You yourselves know how it feels to be aliens. Because, why? You were aliens in Egypt. And certainly they were. For a time, they were aliens. They were in bondage as aliens, as foreigners from another country in the land of Egypt. And so God tells them, look, you know what it's like to be from another country, from another world. And so when you have aliens living among you, you need to treat them properly. And the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 19, and I don't know, you know, what he was thinking about was an image like this, but he says, look, I'm a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. Do you understand the sentiment of this passage here? That the psalmist is basically saying, I don't belong here. And God, I need your word, your commands to guide me as I maneuver in this world. Because I don't belong here. I'm a stranger here. It's kind of like what he's saying is the idea, and of course, most of us probably today just use the GPSs, right? How many of you even remember what a real map looks like? Anybody? Some of you. But you know, we take a map or a GPS device because we want to try to find out where we want to go, right? What's the best way to get there? Because we're going somewhere that we are unfamiliar with. We don't know how to get there. We don't know where we're going necessarily. So we use a map, and the psalmist here is basically using that idea, saying, God, I need your commands as a map because I'm a stranger here, and I don't know how to go. Because we are aliens. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says. We're looking at this text in our Bible class this morning. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10, about Abraham. It says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Now, God had called upon Abraham to take his family, to pack up his stuff, and to go to a land that I will give you, he said. And so Abraham packed up his stuff and he went, and God gave him a land to live in. But even after God gave it to him, Abraham's approach and his attitude was, this is not my home. I'm a foreigner here. I don't belong here. And Abraham lived in tents, he said. A temporary dwelling. In other words, Abraham did not go to this new land that God had given to him and built a home with a firm foundation and said, here's where I am and here's where I'm going to live from now on. Abraham knew it was only temporary because he was a foreigner or an alien in a foreign country, as was his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob. They were heirs with him of the promise that God had made to Abraham. And look at what he says. For he, that is Abraham, was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham wasn't going to go and build a brick and mortar building with a foundation. He was going to wait for God to give him that kind of home, recognizing that this place is only temporary. In chapter 11, verses 13 through 14, the writer of Hebrews, in talking about all of these people of the Old Testament of great faith, has this to say about them. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And then look at this next part. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They admitted that. In their faithfulness, they admitted, I don't belong here. I'm only passing through. Why? Because as we just sung the song, this world is not my home. And they recognized that. But through faith, what they were doing was looking forward to something else. Look at what he says. People who say such things show that they are looking forward to a country of their home.
Right.
See? Something far better than what this world has to offer. So having said all of that, recognizing that, first of all, we are the aliens here on this earth, in this world, Peter goes on to talk about abstaining from something. And what is he talking about here? He says in verse 11, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Okay? Because we don't belong here, because we are aliens here, he's urging us. He says, I urge you as aliens and strangers, okay, to abstain from these things because there is a war going on. It's called spiritual warfare. It is a battle between the spirit and between the flesh. And you and I, as aliens here, as strangers in this earth, as people who belong to God, are in the very heat of that warfare. We need to recognize that. See? In Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul says this, so I walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires, look at this, what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. And then look at this next line. They are in conflict with each other. There is a spiritual war going on between the people of two places, two worlds, so to speak. The world of the spirit and the world of the flesh. We need to understand that we are at war. Okay? There is a war that's going on out there. And look at this statement here. It's being fought on the turf of your heart. It is being fought for control of your soul. That war is going on with each and every one of us right now. And Peter here is urging us, the way that we are victorious in this battle is to abstain from those sinful desires which war against our soul. Okay? Because here's the result. You think that sin is just a little sin. It's not, nobody knows. It's not hurting anybody. Well, sin. What does it do? It takes you where you do not want to go. It keeps you there longer than you want to stay. And it costs you more than you want to pay. That's what sin does in this warfare that we're in. Apostle Paul in Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death. That's what sin does. And that's the result. If sin wins the war in our lives, then the result is death. And so Peter again is urging us, okay, to abstain from those desires that wage war against our soul. He puts it this way in chapter 5 in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. That picture, just picture that in your mind, a roaring lion. I had the opportunity, Emma and Ben and Allison and I had the opportunity to experience something last week that I have never experienced in my life. I've seen lions, at the zoo before, and I've seen lions on TV, and I've heard on TV lions roar, but we were at the zoo the other day, and we could hear a police siren in the background, okay, way off in the distance, and right after the siren sounded, the wolves started howling. Okay? And then a sound I have never heard of. I'm telling you, it was an awesome, awesome experience. The lion that we had just seen a few minutes ago roared. We were on the other side of the park. And it was loud. It was loud. And it was like, whoa, I just heard a real lion roar. It was awesome. I want you to take that imagery and just think about it. And what Peter's trying to get us to see is that's what's going on in this warfare that Satan is waging against us. He's like a lion that is waiting to devour us. The way that we keep that from happening is to abstain from those sinful desires that wage war against our soul. Abstain. Here's a passage, Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. This passage is probably right up at the top of passages that have been taken out of context more than any other passages in the Bible. Okay? It's right up there at the top. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Well, when we read that text that way, and it has been used in this way, if something looks bad, you better stay away from it. Okay? And so we've used this text to justify keeping people from doing all kinds of things that look evil. And that's not what this verse really says. We get a better idea from it when we look at the English Standard Version says, abstain from every form of evil. The New International Version says, avoid every kind of evil. So you see, it's not the appearance of evil, something that just looks bad. It is evil itself. You stay away from it. The key here to it all is this. Abstain. If something is evil, you need to stay away from it. You need to stay as far away from it as you can. Because those are the things that are going to wage war against your soul. So if it's evil, he says, abstain from it. Now, let's talk about living among the locals. Okay? We need to, probably most of us have traveled at least outside of Petersburg, right? You've gone to some city or town, maybe even a foreign country that you are not familiar with. And so, in other words, you were not a local, you were probably one of these folks. Now, I don't know if you were dressed like them or not. What we like to refer to as tacky tourists, okay? And when people are tourists, they go somewhere else to another country or even another town, they might run into signs like this, okay, locals only. And the reason that people that are locals put up these signs is because they want to keep the people who are the tacky tourists out, all right? But it's the idea of being local, and so we have this thing, when you're going to travel somewhere, there's a huge desire that people have to try to live like a local. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, the idea is that I want to try to find, you know, where the locals eat and how do they get to where they're going to go and just kind of blend in and so forth. Well, some people do that better than others do. And Americans are really bad at foreign travel, by the way, okay? We go to a foreign country and we expect everybody in a foreign country, because we're Americans, to just go, oh, they're Americans, aren't they the greatest people? And instead, most people in foreign countries look at Americans, they go, wish they would go away. And part of it is because of things like this. You see, the locals, they don't speak English, so what do? We speak louder, okay? Thinking that if we speak English louder, they'll understand it better. Okay, it doesn't work that way, does it? Or how about these folks who are tourists that they go to a foreign country, they got all this great food, and they go, I wonder if there's a McDonald's here. And that's why the locals don't like tourists. Okay, but here's a question for you. Should we live like a local? As foreigners in this world, should we live like a local? Okay, here's Satan's message, okay? Keep calm and blend in. That's what Satan wants us to do. Just blend into the world so that people won't notice that you are different. And some of us do a better job of others at trying to blend in and to be a local. But here's God's message for us. We need to stand out. You see, God does not want us as His children, as foreigners and aliens and strangers in this world, God does not want us to live like the locals. He wants us to continue living as His children. Look at what Peter says in verse 17 of chapter 1. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here. In reverent fear. God says, I don't want you living like a local. I don't want you blending in with the world. I don't want people to be able to recognize and know that you don't belong here. And if you blend in and people don't recognize that you're different, then there's something wrong. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says this, so I tell you this and insist on in the Lord that you must what? No longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Don't live like the locals. You need to live a different life because you don't belong here. Let's go back to our passage, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter says, live such good lives among the pagans. I'm using the term locals here. You understand that, right? Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. Okay? They may see your good deeds. So, in order for people to see our good deeds, what do we have to be doing? Good deeds. Okay? We've got to be doing good deeds so that people will see that we are different. Okay? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 says it this way when he's talking about and telling us that we are the light of the world. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may do what? See your good deeds. There it is again. And glorify your Father in heaven. So God wants us as aliens and strangers in this world to be doing good deeds among locals. But why? What is the circumstance here? Let's go back and look at it again. He says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong. And folks, there's an awful lot of that going on today, isn't it?
Yeah.
We live in a world today that just a few years ago, I would never have thought these things would be going on in America today. That there are things that are happening today that those of us who stand against those things, we're the ones who are being accused of being hate mongers and things like that. Yeah. You go, wait a minute, just a few years ago, most people in the world thought those things were terrible behaviors. But now, when we stand against those things, then we're the ones who are wrong. We're the ones who are unreasonable. We're the ones who are full of hate. That's the world that we live in today. Not a whole lot different than the world of Isaiah's day. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, look at what he said in 5 and verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Isn't that what's still going on today? The wise man Solomon was right when he said there's nothing new under the sun. You say, whatever has been will be again. You see? It's still going on in the world today. And as long as this world continues, it will continue to go on. And those who are of the world, the locals, the pagans, will accuse us of all kinds of bad things. See? But we need to live such good lives amongst the people of this world. Okay? No matter what they say, and they accuse us of all kinds of wrong things, that they will see our good deeds. Now, are they to see those good deeds so that they look at us and go, wow, aren't you so great? No. No, look at what he says here. That they may see your good deeds and glorify God. That's what it's about. It's not about us. Man. It's about them seeing the things that we are doing and giving glory to God. Now, we talked this morning in our Bible class about this whole idea of looking down the road in the future. It's not all about what's going on right now in the present. It's about the future. And notice that Peter here says that they're going to glorify God when? Not right now. But he says on the day he visits us. See, that's future. Jesus is coming back. Okay? Jesus is going to come back and visit this world one more time, when everything is going to be ended. And on that day, then those of the world will glorify God. See? They will glorify God. It will be too late for those in the world. But they will give Him glory as the God of the universe that He is. See? What we've got to do is to live such good lives as aliens and strangers in this world that people see us and they give glory to God when He comes back. See, we're looking at this whole idea of close encounters, the spiritual kind. It's not about, you know, the whole ideas and things that people have come up with in their minds of extraterrestrials and so forth, but it's about us as God's children being foreigners, being aliens, being strangers in this world, and how God calls upon us to live our lives, recognizing that there is a future that we need to be looking forward to. That helps us to deal with whatever is going on in the past in our lives. As we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, the past becomes irrelevant because I have a future. And whatever present things I'm dealing with, whatever trouble, whatever turmoil I'm dealing with right now, that becomes irrelevant because I have a future. And God gives me what I need to help me to work through the present as I look forward to the future. But here's a question I want you to be thinking about. We're going to stand together in just a moment and sing a song that Baron has chosen for us as an invitation. The Lord's invitation is open to anyone. For those who may be here this morning that are not yet Christians, if you've not given your life to Christ, it's a serious question for you to be thinking about. You belong to Jesus Christ. When you belong to Jesus Christ, you're His. You are an alien foreigner, but until you do that, you are lost in your sins. You are one of the locals. Living like one of the locals. And if Jesus comes back again before you give your life to Him, you will be lost like the locals. You belong to Christ, but maybe there's a war that's going on that Satan has been waging against you and really wreaking havoc in your life. Bring that to the Lord. Let Him give you the power you need to overcome that and to be victorious in that spiritual warfare. Don't try to fight those battles on your own. You will not win on your own. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to visit us again and take those who belong to Him back home to that future home in heaven to be with Him forever. But here's the question I want you to think about while we're singing this song. Okay? Are you ready for Him to come? The Lord's invitation is open and extended to everyone. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to perhaps have a private conversation or prayer with him. I'll be up front to receive anyone that would like to come up and share what your need is or what we can do to help you in your walk with Christ. Let's stand together and sing.